the Ain't No Fang podcast. From Arizona Sports, Ain't No Fang.
Well, it was a week ago, or at least 6 days ago, when we last did the Ain't No Fang podcast. It was me, Steve Zinsmeister, with Derek Montilla. Joining us today also is Cody Fincher. But it was just you and me.
Back.
I thank you for attending, Cody.
Yeah, thanks
your
for showing
own podcast.
Up.
These
thanks
Cardinal broadcasts are killers.
Yeah, they're not on when we do the show. The broadcast isn't on when we do the show.
I need some sleep,
interesting.
I don't care about your sleep,
some sleep,
Bear.
Last Thursday, Derek and I ended the podcast by saying, you know, the D-backs keep going, you know, 3-3 every week or whatever. And I said on the way out, well, there are 7 games between now and next time we do the podcast, and they can't possibly go 500.
We say so many things that we're wrong about, Steve, and this was the one time we were confident that there was no way we...
There were 7 games.
There was no way we could be wrong.
But then we moved the podcast up a day due to our schedules, they're actually playing right now. They're playing that 7th game right now. But in those 6 previous games, they went 0-3 followed by 3-0, so now they are 3-3 in their last 6. So here we are, still kind of no idea who the Diamondbacks actually are, and right now as we speak on this podcast we are recording here on Wednesday afternoon, they are playing exclusively on YouTube.
It's 1-0 Rockies in the first.
That's not
Mike
great.
Leaky Fawcett.
With the bases loaded already.
Oh, no.
Oh,
who's
yes.
hitting?
Everybody.
No, but like, who's at the plate?
They're showing. Okay, it's not.
Give us the play-by-play.
The graphic was behind Derek. It's only one guy on base.
Oh, okay.
One out. Yonder Alonso is at the plate right now with a runner on first. It's 2-0 Colorado right now.
Yonder Alonso?
Yep. Leak? Yonder Alonso.
He plays for.
He does. He
really?
Is their first baseman.
Leak has made 3 starts. This is his 4th start. In 3 starts, he's given up 29 hits. In 16 and a third innings.
He really
pitched.
Does pitch to contact.
He really does.
Hard contact.
He does.
You know what's funny? When they acquired Mike Leake a couple of weeks ago, I think most of the reaction we got was, okay, he's a bottom of the rotation guy. He's your number 4, maybe number 5 guy, but he's a veteran. You can always count on him to be healthy.
He eats innings,
which I don't really like the whole eats innings thing, because you know what that means? That means he doesn't really do anything particularly well, but he's always there.
Well, it means that
he's available.
He's not going to completely self-destruct. Right. Yeah. He's going to maybe give up 4 or 5 runs, but he'll spread it out over 7 innings. So at the very least.
I don't like that we're giving a positive narrative to a guy who gives up 4 or 5 runs per outing.
Yeah, that's the problem as of late. I mean, he was much better even with the Mariners than he's been. With the Diamondbacks.
You know what an innings eater is? It's a major league caliber pitcher who isn't performing like a major leaguer that you wouldn't send to the minor leagues.
Right.
So instead of a Taylor Clark or a John Duplantier at the back end of your rotation, it's a guy that you can't possibly justify for sending to the minor leagues, even though he might be pitching like a minor leaguer.
You're not introducing him to your friends, but you're going to, you know, hang out with him.
He's just your own special friend.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
we're just hanging out.
Netflix and chill
type. We're just hanging out.
Yeah, sure.
We're not together.
No, we're not together.
I can't hang out with you guys. I'm hanging out with my friend Mike Leake.
No, I'm not changing my relationship status. It's complicated because it's not even that.
It's not complicated. It's pretty
complicated.
Simple, actually.
Yeah,
he's struggling.
Yeah, he's struggling. I mean, I'm throwing in a bone here by saying he's a major league pitcher, but
he is a major league pitcher.
Well, he's been capable, but the problem is that the last thing the Diamondbacks needed at this point was more issues with starting pitching. Even their bright spots in the bullpen haven't been very bright lately. They haven't been able to count on their bullpen. I was at yesterday's game. It was very indicative of their season. You know, it was this game where it was kind of a fight early on. You saw some, you know, Alex Young had a great start, kind of real quick 1-2-3 through his first 3 innings. And, you know, then after that, the Diamondbacks were able to give him a substantial lead. 5-run lead. They were up 8-3 at one point. And the production from the offense dropped off from that point, and the bullpen proceeded to allow the Rockies to come back and make what was a blowout at one point an unnecessarily close game. I mean, we're talking about we got the tying run to the plate in the 9th inning twice, and that's not a good thing. You know, I was appreciative of what the relievers that came in and did their job could do. Yon Lopez literally inherited a mess. He was the wolf from Pulp Fiction. He inherited a disgusting bloody murder in the backseat of a car, and he did his best with it. You know, he cleaned it up nicely.
Clean this up without getting any blood on the car.
Sure, yeah. And
how do you do that?
Where do you dispose the body?
Right,
that kind of thing. Right,
it's impossible.
But I mean, TJ McFarland came in and just again for yet another outing was unreliable.
He's really struggled,
really, and just in different ways. You know, sometimes you say it's bad luck. Sometimes, in Troy Lovullo's words, he got nicked up a little bit. You know, but whatever. It always seems like you blink on a TJ McFarland, you know, relief appearance, and the bases are loaded is what it feels like, you know. And
Wilmer Flores boots a ball.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, again, it's not always his fault, but
right.
things all of a sudden unravel quickly. I will say I'll give Archie a lot of credit. He came in the ninth for the save, and he had Charlie Blackman. He had a tough test against him. He had the heart of the lineup. He had Charlie Blackman pinch hitting. There was a lot going on. And Blackman led off with a double. So it's like you're only up by two runs, and you had a lot there to deal with. You could see he calmed himself down. You could see he gave up mentally that run that was on bases and just worked on the guys that he needed to get out at the plate. And that's exactly what he needed to do in that scenario. Came across, you know, with the save, Diamondbacks get the win. Just watching that game, even in a victory, did not feel like a win. I didn't want to sour the mood afterwards, but I wanted to ask Lovullo, like, do you still take away a lot of negatives from this type of win? But everything he was saying, like always, was so very positive. And I, especially, like I said, after a win, of course it's going to be positive, but it didn't feel
like
a win. It felt like they escaped with it.
Yeah, like they kind of stumbled into a win at the end there, or they kind of got lucky by that they won by one run.
Right, exactly. I mean, production-wise, they had a lot of good things going. Peralta was 3-for-5. You had Ahmed getting in his career high in home runs. And then Eduardo Escobar coming through and like being one of the only players in Major League Baseball history to be a switch hitter and be a 20-20-10 guy. That's big. And, I mean, the third 20-20-10 guy in D-backs history. So, I mean, making a lot of history and doing it in a real humble way. But the production just was kind of all at once in a bunch. You know, there wasn't a lot of well thought out or strung together hits, you know, spread out throughout the game that kept, you know, the Rockies kind of on their heels. You had a home run from Ahmed, you had a couple of other things happen, but the offense happened in spurts.
Scored most of their runs in one inning.
Right. You know, like one thing that you saw from the Rockies was consistent run production even in the loss. They were able to keep pressing and keep going on. Had it not been for that huge inning, you know, that kind of, I'm not going to say was a fluke, but had that one inning not been so big, then you would have easily seen the bullpen giving this game away. The reason why that's important to me is because that right there tells me that this team just still isn't ready for a successful playoff run that could potentially lead to the World Series. You know, it's still going to be fun to watch. They're still going to fight. They've talked a lot last night about how many games there are left. There are a ton of games left, and a lot of things could happen. They are only four games back. It just does not scream to me as them being a complete team that's ready to go up against the elite teams in Major League Baseball.
If you look at the teams that are ahead of them in the wild card right now, the Cubs, the Mets, the Phillies, the Brewers, the Nationals are in
so
the first
all
place.
All of them.
Yeah.
There's like, what? Five you just listed?
But I mean, what I mean is those teams above them are just far superior than the Diamondbacks are. And I mean, it's great that they're still in it, though, because I don't think they're going to make it. But at least being only four games back right now as they're playing as we record this podcast, at least it gives us something to talk about and watch.
It's fun.
It's fun to be in the hunt still.
I mean, if you look at the American League,
I didn't expect them to even be in the hunt.
Right. Exactly. No, you're right. And I mean, when you look at the American League, it's literally a four-team race. And outside of that four-team, there's nobody even close. Right. So if you're a Seattle fan, a Blue Jays fan, you know, you don't even have anything to root for. And there's still a month and a half of baseball left to play. With that being said, there's still a lot of enjoyment you can get out of watching the Diamondbacks, and they absolutely could go on a run. I think that's the one thing that is very prevalent in baseball, is teams all of a sudden, especially in September, can go on these crazy runs that you have no idea where they go, especially when you're talking about a San Francisco Giants team. But I just don't think, looking at the way that this team is playing in certain games – and the arms that they have to rely on.
Missing Robbie Ray.
Yeah, missing Robbie Ray. Mike Leake really not being an answer there.
Right.
I mean, they definitely have so much to build on for the future. And that's one of the great things about, you know, this year's team is at least if they have something to aim for and they fall short, they're going to be hungry to come out next year and do better. And to be honest, right now, I'm more excited about next season than I am particularly
finishing off this season,
right? Because – and that's there's a lot of questions about why we all love Hazen so much, those of us that are very much fans of what he's done for this organization.
Hazenites.
I like it.
I just made that up.
I love it. I'm going to call myself that. I'm going to add it to my bio on Twitter.
We'll go with that.
I just think that it's kind of crazy to me for people to not see how – he's had to once again come in and deal with, you know, this organization being as fractured as it was and putting it together, back together in the way that he has. I mean, Greinke technically was that. Aside from Yasmani Tomas, Greinke was the last remnant,
yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? And the last, again, besides Tomas,
I had a nickel for every time we said besides Tomas. Like on this podcast over the last, three years?
I'm just going to quit. But yeah.
He's the answer to so many trivia questions on this podcast.
I'm just saying they finally got out from all of that, and the future looks bright. They definitely have a lot of things going for them. And I'll tell you, Alex Young last night looked outstanding. Zach Gallen, again, looked outstanding. Those two guys, and Robbie Ray isn't much older than them. It's not like Robbie Ray is like 10 years older than those two guys.
He's what, 28?
Yeah, 28. And
29, somewhere in there?
And I want to say that, you know, you have a really good core. 27, actually.
Is he?
27.
Wow.
He'll be 28 in October. And he, you know, you have a really great core there of you know, starting pitching. You can build around them and build around this offense, and there's a lot of good things going on. I just think that there's still a little development time needed and you know, a couple of pieces left that they need to acquire. The bullpen definitely is the biggest, you know, for me, the worst part of that right now.
Yeah, there's not a lot there that you can rely on. You know what's interesting? I was just looking at the standings. Forget about the wild card for a second, even though that's really all we have to focus on for the Diamondbacks. Of the division leaders in the American League, all the division leaders are within roughly six games of each other. The New York Yankees are the leaders, 83 wins. The Minnesota Twins have 77, and the Astros are between them. In the National League, the Dodgers have 83 wins, much like the Yankees. The St. Louis Cardinals are leading their division right now with 67 wins.
67
That is
wins.
16 less than the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And they're still leading their division.
Yeah. They're fighting it out with the Cubs, man.
The Cubs, don't get me wrong.
The Cubs are only half a game out of that division. They're 67-58, and the Cardinals are 67-57.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and then depending on what happens in today's YouTube-exclusive game, the Diamondbacks and Giants could flip-flop, and they might have another team in between them and a wild card. So
maybe.
There's a little bit of... importance to this game, I would say, but when you're fighting for a wild card, there's importance to every game.
There's importance to every single game, and I think that's the point that they're at. They're no longer going to be resting guys. That was one of the topics in the locker room was are the top guys ready to carry the load the rest of the way? You know, and I love like Escobar's answer. Escobar told Torrey essentially, "I'll rest." In the offseason at this point.
I'll rest when I'm dead.
No, he's like, I have October to vacation. I have December to vacation, November to vacation. I have all that time.
Well, I wouldn't assume he's taking a vacation in the middle of the season.
But you know
but taking
I mean.
A day
I
off
feel,
is a little
I feel like
yeah.
That's where Torrey's kind of let up on that because when he first became the manager, besides Paul Goldschmidt never got a day off. But I feel like he was very, very, or at least he thought it was important to give guys regular days off.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, Ketel Marte will get a day off here and there, but it's nowhere near to the degree of when he first became the manager. I felt like, besides because Goldschmidt literally probably wouldn't let him sit him. So, but there were other guys like Peralta and Lamb and all those guys that took days off. I'm like, why is Jake Lamb sitting today? Blah blah blah. You know, why is David Peralta out of the lineup?
And now
today?
We're like, why is Jake Lamb playing today?
We're trying. But before I remember watching these games. Like we're trying to go for the sweep or a series win, and you have one of your best players sitting on the bench.
Right.
But I feel like he's kind of lightened up on that a little bit.
Here's the thing, is it's going to take roughly 88 wins at this point to win the wild card.
Oh, boy.
And the Diamondbacks are at 64-63, so they would need to go 24-11 to finish out the season.
That's your
estimation.
You would need 24-11 to make the wild card.
And 11 remaining games.
This is not a team that, to me, indicates that they can win twice as many games as they lose over the rest of the season.
They also have games against the Dodgers. Still left on the schedule.
Not good.
Games against St. Louis and Milwaukee, who are
not good.
You know, in the hunt as well for.
Well,
the
they are
card.
Good, is what I mean. But
they
not
are good
for
and
the
Mets. Yeah,
who are also apparently good.
Right. I'm saying there's a lot standing between them and achieving that goal.
The Reds aren't bad. They play the Reds twice. Oh, good news. They play the Marlins for three, but again, they couldn't win a series against the Marlins, so I shouldn't even say that. Ugh.
You know,
that's going to be tough. 24 wins.
I don't see that happening.
I don't see it either.
I can't imagine that happening. And a team that continues to show us week after week that they're a 500 club, I don't think you could pick a team in the major leagues right now that more embodies a 500 baseball club than the Diamondbacks. They don't just show it on a weekly basis. Like when I crack the mic on the podcast every week and say, yeah, they went 3-3 in the last 7 days. Not just that, but I mean, the metaphor you used of yesterday's game kind of embodies this is what a 500 team does.
I mean, it really is. It's a dominant team would have won that game.
They would have put the
10-3
their foot on the throat of the opponent,
right.
And they wouldn't have let up.
Right. And I know the Rockies are a good team. Don't get me wrong. The Rockies have had more bad luck this season than the Diamondbacks have. They just lost John Gray today to a fractured foot.
Yep.
There's a lot
as if they had a pitcher they could afford to lose.
Right, exactly. You know? And I mean, it's kind of the same thing as the Diamondbacks, right? You get down to what we have and you can't afford a single injury at this point because it really, you know, they're in there with tape and bubble gum keeping this team together at times, you know.
Charlie Blackman just robbed Jake Lamb of extra bases with two runners on to end the inning. Charlie Blackman's so annoying. He's so annoying.
If by that
really
you mean
good.
He's really good at
yes,
really
I
good
do.
Baseball.
I do that. The same. I do mean that. That? Yeah. I do mean that. The same way Nolan
beard.
Arenado is annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
I love Nolan.
Can I highlight a positive for the D-backs, though?
Please.
I think if you look at the entirety of the season, I think a lot of fans, even the fans that go to games, would be surprised to look at the total statistics for the season for Eduardo Escobar. We talked a little bit about him already today, but I mean, the guy is over 100 RBIs. There's only three guys in the NL that have that to their credit. And the other one, I think Bellinger's one of them.
Bellinger, I'm looking it up right now.
Peter Alonso? No. I can't remember who the third one is.
It is in the National League. It is Freddie Freeman. Has 102. He's leading. And then Escobar and Bellinger are tied at 100.
That's pretty good company to be in.
Yeah.
If you're Eduardo Escobar, who I still don't think is a star player in this league. I don't think he's considered a star player, but he's performing like one.
But he's performing like one.
And what's interesting is at the beginning of the season, I think all three of us probably could have agreed, and maybe we did on a podcast, where David Peralta was the guy offensively for the Diamondbacks.
The face of the team,
consistently
is what I called him.
Consistently hits 290-310. Mm-hmm. He plays a decent outfield as a former pitcher. He's got a really good arm. And he was kind of the team leader. He's the heart and soul of the team, I think, as you said, Derek. We all could have agreed on that. And I'm not saying that David Peralta is not that good. I'm just saying I think Eduardo Escobar has eclipsed him in my mind as the number one offensive threat on the Arizona Diamondbacks. And that's with Ketel Marte in center field, who is leading the National League in hits.
It's amazing.
So between the two of them, those are two positions that not only do they have them locked down long term, which is huge for the team, because Ketel Marte's contract we've talked about is such a steal if he continues to be the player he is this season. And Eduardo Escobar's deal is a total steal for the next 2 years after this season. And before the season, we didn't know that those two guys were going to be at this level.
All hail Mike Hazen.
I know.
Hazen-ites.
He really is. He's knocking those out of the park. But here's the thing, though. With those two positions being solidified, My number one question before the season, or the one number one thing I was excited about, was to see if Christian Walker could live up to playing first base every day for the Diamondbacks. We talked about it because in terms of Goldie being gone and being traded, and he's probably the greatest offensive player that this team has ever had, this organization has ever had. And I think Christian Walker's done a fine job. He's done a nice job.
Yeah.
Especially considering the down year that Goldie has had, when you compare their statistics, you're like, oh, well, that's not so bad at all.
Sure.
But I continue to look at also, and I know a lot of people don't look at this, but in the minor leagues, the Diamondbacks have Kevin Crone at first base in AAA, who is probably the best power hitter in the minor leagues. And although he's not a top prospect in a lot of ways, he's very close to the major leagues and can only play first base. So I still wonder about that position going into next year, if we're looking ahead a little bit. But it's really nice to know that Eduardo Escobar and Ketel Marte are locked down for at least a couple of seasons.
Right. And that's kind of how I feel, is because especially Escobar, he emerged as a star here. He was already a fan favorite in Minnesota, but he emerged as a star since being here.
He was leading the, I think, the American League in doubles at the time that they traded
for him. Correct.
So he had done some good things.
And when he was traded, so many of his teammates and Minnesota Twins fans were so upset that they traded him away because
especially for nothing.
I love Eduardo Escobar.
He's
very polished offensively. He's a switch hitter, hits from both sides of the plate really well, and also he's really good defensively as well at third base, which is not easy to do.
I mean,
so
he's
that bargain of a contract too. I don't know how Mike Hazen got him to stay.
It's
for
incredible.
That.
It's incredible. Well, you know why? Because he loves it here.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one thing he said last night, that like, I've never felt a player meant as much as he did when he said it.
Mm.
He's like, he said it like a couple of times in a row. He's like, I love it here, man. I love it here. You know? And he was like, he said it with such sincerity that, you know, That's got to be a big part of the, not only the organization believing him, but you know, the clubhouse. You know, he has a lot of Hispanic brothers in the clubhouse, and they are legitimately family.
The core of this team: Escobar, Marte, Peralta.
Right, and
they all bring around their cats to scare him.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I mean,
that's a thing.
He's
afraid of cats.
Yo, he's terrified of cats.
Escobar,
yes.
Escobar, yes.
So Peralta will.
It's not even funny to him.
No,
it's funny to everybody else. It's like Adrian Beltre.
Yes, I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
Beltre with his head.
Right.
And Elvis Andrews will pet him on the head, and he hates it.
Peralta will bring around stuffed cats and leave them in his locker.
Really?
You have Gerard Dyson right next to him messing with him. And like, Dyson last night was making demands from us as the media as to what we had to like offer him in order to get an interview with him, and he was playing his agent. That was awesome. But
was there a conclusion there? Did you come to some sort of agreement with Gerard?
No, Escobar's too nice. Yeah, Gerard was being hard on us. But the thing about Escobar was, he was asked if he ever thought he would have a 100 RBI season, you know, coming up.
Yeah.
And again, talk about sincerity. I've never seen somebody so quick to be like, no, never. I never thought that.
Well, what's funny, we were looking at the stats earlier. He may have 100 RBIs, but he only has 78 runs. And I know that both of those statistics, RBIs and runs, both kind of depend on another person on your team. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody else has to hit you in for you to get that run. You can't just score on your own all the time.
Right.
And RBIs are the same way. You can only hit them if people are on base. And clearly he's a good hitter. You just need people to be on base. And clearly they have been. So the rest of the lineup affects those statistics. But isn't it telling a little bit that he still has 78 runs, which is not super high? It's not bad. Don't get me wrong. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's not super high compared to his RBI count.
Well, it's another weird thing about this team. Like, when you look at the run differential for this team,
it's high.
They should be way better than they are.
Yes,
right?
I know.
You know? And so
it
definitely leaves you scratching your head. Again, one thing I've noticed, and I criticized players for this in the past. I criticized Goldschmidt for this over the last few seasons, because I felt like whenever there was this big moment that, like, he'd hit the ball out of the park all the time, but when it was a big moment that you were like counting on him, that you felt like, oh my god, this is going to be like, you know, like he's had in the past, like he had such big game-winning moments in his time here, but just over the last few seasons. And that's kind of something that that's happened to the Diamondbacks. When they get into a close game, I don't have a belief in them winning, and typically they do exactly what I fear them doing, and they blow it in a way that makes me go, yeah, I knew they weren't going to win.
That's
that.
A problem.
Right.
That's a big problem.
I mean, you have these blowouts, so you have this huge run differential, but then you don't have the ability to win 2-1 games, 3-2 games, 4-5 games. Those are the games that you have to be able to win. You have to be able to go up and stay up. And again, that goes back to the bullpen and how unreliable the bullpen specifically has been. Starting pitching has been erratic. They've had so many ups and downs. They've had so many changes to starting pitching. But at the very least, the starting pitching, you know, as of late, has been giving them, you know, leads and been giving them chances to win the ball game, and we're just not seeing the bullpen hold that as often as they should be, you know, as at least as often as teams that are going to go on to do something special, you know, would.
They're going to have some real trouble, I think, with bullpen coming into this offseason. You know, what kind of moves do you decide to make? A lot of these guys have been here a while. I mean, right. TJ McFarland has, although being still quite young, he's been around for a few seasons. Andrew Chafin's been here a while.
Archie.
Obviously, Archie's been around for a while, and he's not going anywhere. But, you know, Yoan Lopez is here, and I believe he's here to stay. But Yoshi Hirano is a guy who came over from Japan at an older age. Has that experiment paid off? I think he was great last year. But this year, I don't know. Has he disproven that? They, you know, DFA'd Greg Holland. It was a great first half of the season. That experiment paid off. But then they decided to move off of it. And on a team where, am I correct in that they only have two lefties in Chafin and McFarland in the bullpen?
I think so, yes.
Those are the only two I'm aware of. Yeah, because Matt Andrees is a righty. But yeah, I look at that and I'm like, if you can't rely on TJ McFarland, then Andrew Chafin is your only reliable left-handed pitcher in the bullpen, and that's just not enough to be a playoff team. You can't do anything in the playoffs if you only have one left-handed pitcher you can rely on. And I don't think the rest of the league is looking at Andrew Chafin like he's some ace out of the bullpen.
Right, right. Well, they moved Taylor Clark to the bullpen, but he's a righty too. So, again, you can tell that they're trying to do what they can to make adjustments. And
it's not easy to go and find a lefty, don't get me wrong. Right. I'm just saying that might be another issue that they consider in the offseason when they reevaluate the bullpen, because I really think Archie and I really think Yoan Lopez are going to be a part of this bullpen next year. I would guess Andrew Chafin will continue to be a part of this bullpen, but they have some legitimate questions to answer. Derek, you and I ran into each other at the game on Saturday. We were both there, and this is a game that got away from them pretty quickly, and it kind of felt like, I mentioned to you at the game, it felt like the C team was playing that day. Like, all the pitchers they were rolling out there were just kind of, are we really trying? And I don't mean to be rude about it, you know, but it was just a bunch of guys. Like, McFarland comes in, he's got a 5 ERA or whatever it was. Ginkle comes in, he's been playing pretty well, but at the same time, you're like,
that was Clark's start, I believe, right?
Clark, yeah, yeah. Who was out in the second inning.
Right, after having a 40-pitch second inning. Right.
Right. So
I and again,
that's how it feels
thing.
As a fan, I feel like.
It's not just that, like, okay, it's kind of like what I was talking about with Archie, where you know you have runners on. So you have a 2-run lead, 3-run lead. You're going to give up a run or two, but that's fine as long as what you walk away with is the win at the end of the day. I think that there are games that Torey Lovullo even has to do that with. I think that they are so shorthanded that Lovullo literally has to be like, well, okay, this is going to be a throwaway game most likely anyway.
Well, and that was the game after they came off of they had bullpen issues the day before, or the bullpen had to pitch extra innings the day before, so they called Clark up specifically to help the bullpen.
It was like that whole week they were the bullpen had to pitch so much, and they were taxed, and they couldn't get a starter to go 6 innings.
He's out before the 3rd inning.
Right,
right.
I mean, it's really disheartening, if anything.
But my point is that, again, unless you're like the Dodgers and you're 550 games up in the division, there's never a time where
you should... Is that
what
it's at now?
Oh, it's something like that.
Yeah,
it's
here it is, 500.
Yeah. 549.
500, yeah.
Unless you actually have, like, a game to burn, you shouldn't have to be literally going into games thinking this is most likely going to be a disaster for us.
And I
hate
to say
this.
That's
what felt like.
That's what Saturday felt like.
It felt like that
beforehand.
From
the start.
It felt like that on Thursday when I was in the press conference before the game with Torey Lovullo, and he was asked who was going to start on Saturday. And he basically said,
man, I don't know.
It's going to be an all-hands-on-deck situation for the bullpen. And I was like, that means it's a bullpen start. And well, it wasn't because it was Taylor Clark.
It didn't even feel like, because when I hear all-hands-on-deck, that's everyone's available, and that is not what ended up happening.
No.
Not even
Alex Avila was available.
Because they were down
He was the best pitcher that day.
He was the best pitcher. He threw a 68-mile-per-hour slider, if you want to call it that, for a strikeout.
That's like earlier this season. You remember when Father John Ryan Murphy pitched?
Yeah,
and he pitched very well.
God bless him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got it that time. I
appreciate that. No, I mean, this
their
was better,
Their best pitchers
though.
This season have been their backup catchers.
I love that they called his pitch a slider at 68 miles an hour.
Did they call it that on the broadcast?
They called it that. Yeah, because
Fantastic.
It's just gravity is what it is. It's gravity making the
Did
pitch
Did it break
fall.
Left to right at all, or right to left?
The air conditioning probably pushed it that way.
Yeah. Right, yeah. It was like a 52-mile-an-hour pitch, probably.
Have you ever seen the Goofy cartoon where he swings like 8 times at the pitch before it actually gets there? It was like that.
Yeah,
wow.
Exactly. That was pretty good.
Sound effect.
That was a great sound effect. That was more... Three Stooges.
Whatever. That was good.
That's really all I have.
I liked it either way.
That's what I'm here for. Yeah. So right now, the Diamondbacks and Rockies are currently playing on YouTube, as I understand it. They are not on TV.
I'm watching it right now.
Are you? Okay, where are we at right
now? It's 2-0 Rockies still with two outs in the bottom of the second inning. They're talking to Adam Jones on a headset right now.
Oh, my God. I wish I could hear it. Adam Jones is my favorite human being in that locker room sometimes.
So that this game that's going on right now will end the homestand tomorrow. Friday. There's a day off tomorrow. And then Friday, the Diamondbacks head to Milwaukee for a three-game series.
Boy.
That's tough. Then they get two games in San Francisco, and then they'll be back home to face the Dodgers in a four-game series.
Four?
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Yeah, there are four games in that series.
That sucks.
Yeah. Not great. But then they do get the Padres after that, so maybe that'll kind of even it out.
The Padres always play the Diamondbacks extremely hard, though, and they're always really annoying.
Well, there is that.
Always.
Let's see how the next week goes, though, because, I mean, let's throw out today's game, but let's say 3 in Milwaukee, 2 in San Francisco. So that's five. It's a five-game road trip. Any predictions?
500.
Also,
2.5 and 2.5. Yeah.
That's probably what's going to happen. Hey, thanks for listening to the Ain't No Fang podcast. I'm Steve Zinsmeister. That's Derek Montilla and Cody Fincher, as always. Well, he's never always, I feel like. Thanks for joining us today.
We appreciate you showing up, Cody.
I'm sorry I work so many other hours.
I have 5 jobs, Cody, and I still show up here.
We're going to go bicker about our number of jobs. This is the Ain't No Fang podcast at ArizonaSports.com.
Leave me alone.